Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a bi-weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Clemencia, and we are glad you're here. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
The big idea for this episode is the Idea Network Ambassador. Who is it, and what exactly does David Tice do on this episode of the podcast? Hey man, this is the part of the episode where we're supposed to advertise my book.
All right.
So what do you think we should say?
I don't feel bad about it. It's not a shameless plug. It's literally your book. You've put a lot of work into it.
That's a good point. So you need to pick up a copy. And hey, here's the thing. If you buy a copy and you didn't like it,
right.
Drew said he'll pay for you to ship it back.
That's not what I said. At least an In-N-Out Burger, I'll ship to them.
You'll ship them
in
In-N-Out.
If it's on the East Coast, it'll be all spoiled, but it's fine. Hey, I'm in this book too.
You are. You're actually in this book. And I say some things that people don't know about you. It's going to be great. I tell some stories.
All right.
Are you?
Where can people find this book at?
Oh, that's right.
And what you it's
can
called.
Okay. So you can pick up this book.
Right.
It's called The Quest for Friendship.
The Quest for Friendship. Insert Galleant music here.
That really is what it is.
Right. It's happening right now.
The Idea Network publishing arm of our network has produced this awesome resource, and I really do appreciate it. It's exciting. It really is a discussion of friendship, and I want you to pick up a copy at ideanetwork.church in the shop tab. It's the very first resource at the very top. You can pick it up, and if you put in the promo code free shipping is yours.
All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
Go do it now.
The Quest for Friendship. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. On today's episode, we have a very special guest. I've never actually got a chance to be on a podcast with you. The last time this person was on a podcast was pre-Drew.
Whoa.
That's a long time ago. Yeah. I've been listening to you and hearing your voice all this time. I thought we had done this before.
I don't think we have.
So. That's crazy. Because episode one, was it episode one?
I believe so.
Back in the era of Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now we have Dr. David Tice back on the program. How you doing, doctor?
It's great to be here, mister.
Mister, call me master.
Okay, master.
I just have a question. When you were raising Josh, was it your goal for one day to him call you doctor?
No, my goal was to get him to obey. That was it.
Got it.
Our whole purpose in parenting was to get all of our children to obey.
Still working on it.
Yeah, so.
It's not working. I'm thinking about it in my 50s. I'm thinking about starting to obey. If you'll still be here, you're going to.
Yeah, I'm planning on it. It's all, you know, that's totally up to God.
You're in good health, though, and yes. You are in good spirits. It's really good to have you back on the podcast. Episode one, do you remember what we talked about?
No.
Okay, so episode one was called The History of the Independent Baptist Movement.
Oh, okay, so we talked about what a fundamentalist was and what it isn't.
Yeah.
We need to revisit that.
I totally agree. Look forward to some upcoming episodes. My dad and I have been writing some concepts and some ideas on some future episodes, not only of the Idea Talks, but also of
Tice Talks.
The Tice Talks.
Yeah, you say, Tice Talks.
Hold on. Yes. There's another show called Podcast, the Tice Talks.
Yeah. Yes. It's one of the best.
How do you find it?
You can go, I don't know.
That's awesome.
DavidTice.com, I guess.
Yeah, and you can find it wherever you find your podcast. Yeah, Stitcher.
Search Tice Talks.
Yeah,
Tice Talks. But spell it T-H-E-I-S. It's the best. I'm just kidding.
Don't do that.
T-E-I-S. And you can go to experienceliberty.com.
Yeah.
And you can get all sorts of good stuff off of that.
That's true, because experienceliberty.com will actually give you, on your way to KVXL 101.1 Experience Liberty Radio.
Yes, where we broadcast Bible Talks.
Yep, that's our other podcast.
And Idea Day.
Mm-hmm.
And Tice Talks.
That's right.
So
it's a lot of fun. But we are going to do some future episodes, which will be pretty cool. But we're glad to have you on this episode because we have a big question.
Okay.
A lot of our audience is wondering, and that is what in the world, because the folks listening right now, most of them just love the Idea Network, just like you and I do. And it's really exciting what God is doing with this network right now. The fellowship that's taking place, the ideas that are being shared, the pastors that are growing, the missionaries that are following along. It's really, really cool. But there's this new concept, the Idea Network Ambassador. And some people are, what's going on with that? What is, Dad, officially? Do you mind if I call you Dad?
Yes, you can call me Dad.
Okay.
If I can call you son.
What is the Idea Network Ambassador?
That just reminded me, though. Yeah. I got to mention this. When Josh was 15 years old, he sent me a card mm-hmm. in the mail. He was out. He was on.
I was on my Mormon missionary trip to Mexico. I was on my mission.
And he sent me this
white
card.
Button, I'm sure
it was guy. It was on my birthday. And on the card, I opened it up. He said, "You've always been like a father to me. So you can go ahead and call me father, that's even great. Though we're not Catholic."
Father, that's true. You're like the only spiritual leader I can call father without disobeying the Lord.
Okay, so
here's the question. Right. So, are the rumors true? Are you actually retiring?
No, I am not retiring.
Oh, really?
I get that question all the time. I'm out traveling. We're doing different conferences around the country. We're doing conferences about family and different issues. And when I get there, people say, "Well, it's so neat. How do you feel now having retired?" And I think, I'm not retired. I wasn't tired the first place. I'm not retiring. I am enjoying life, and we're just expanding our ministry. And yeah. God has allowed us to help plant churches here and around the world. And there's a lot of preachers that are not young preachers anymore. They're preachers that we have had an influence with for years. I was just last night watching an interview with Justin Haynes, who was a summer worker at the West Branch
of the Bill Rice Ranch.
Yes, yeah, and yeah. he's been a missionary now in Spain.
Amazing guy.
For years. He's been involved in ministry for like the last 15 years on the mission field. And so we have preachers that have gone out that we have had some type of influence with, and now we're having the privilege of being able to go to these individual places and speak. And since Pastor Matt, my son, took over Liberty Baptist Church some time ago. People don't realize that, but I tell everybody that Matt runs the church. He just lets me preach when I'm in town. But since he is, and we are in a transition of him becoming the senior pastor over the next 4 or 5 years, and we actually have a date set for that. But while that's happening, I am out of the pulpit more at Liberty, and he's in the pulpit more at Liberty, and that gives me the freedom to travel to different churches and preach on things that are a burden and a heart to me.
Yeah, and a huge need right now within evangelical churches, Baptist churches of all stripe, right all across America. These conferences that you've been hosting, I've been hearing incredible feedback from so many of my friends that have had you in. Can you talk about a few of the different types of conferences that you provide, and then I'll walk through what that schedule might look like? Maybe there's a pastor listening right now and think, man, it'd be amazing to have Dr. Tice come into our church. What would that conference look like exactly?
Well, typically we come to a place we get there like Thursday night, and then Friday evening we start with a informal type of a dinner or just activities or something, and then we do a Friday evening introductory session. Mm-hmm. And what we've done primarily this year is family life conferences. We talk about how important it is as a pastor and as a father to minister to your family. My burden is this, that there's so many people who burn out in ministry because they do not know how to balance their family time with ministry time, or how to incorporate their family time into ministry time.
Boom.
And putting that all together so that we're not feeling pulled apart, but the ministry is actually pulling us together. And so I have had a wonderful time being able to get together with pastors. And when I go, the most exciting thing to me and my wife is it's so funny talking about my wife, and I'm sitting here looking at you.
I know her.
You know her. Yeah. She's like a mother to you. And so, we're talking to preachers. It's the most exciting thing about it is being able to spend time ministering and talking to the preacher, the host preacher, and then preachers that come in. So this is typically what we've done. We have a Friday evening meeting. It's sort of an introductory meeting, and we have an introduction to the family, and it's called The Problems in the Kingdom, because I talk about building the kingdom family. And then on Saturday, there's a variety of things we can do, but we've had And this is what's really great. We'll do two or three sessions on the husband, the wife, and children. And then oftentimes in the afternoon or for lunch, there'll be pastors, other pastors will come in, and we'll just sit and have a roundtable discussion about the family and about ministry and family. And that is really—
Like a full afternoon. I love it. Yes. Kind of like a little miniature idea day, but really focused on ministry
family.
And family.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
Cool.
And when preachers invite other preachers around, and they know it's informal, and it's just talking. I sat one day with a group of 40 to 50, maybe even 60 couples that were all in ministry, and all we did for an entire 4 hours is answer questions. And you know, your mom doesn't like to be up in front of people. That was funny because we walked into this room, this auditorium, and we were a few minutes late, Tice time. You know, we were a few minutes late.
I understand. So does Drew.
For our listeners out here who don't know what Tice time is, it's very similar to island time. If you ever visited the islands, could start at, you know, right on time, or it could be couple minutes late, you know?
Or wherever.
Okay. Wherever the Lord leads.
So we walked in. So I knew we were going to be a few minutes late. We walked in. Well, I did not know. What he had done is emptied all the chairs out of the auditorium, made them into a great big circle, and the front, the door that walked into the auditorium was the front. And so mom, you know, she goes to the very back. She interacts with people on a one-on-one basis. She is not an upfront person. We walk in, we're both in front. We sit down, and the guy looks over and says, "Wow, it's so good to have both of you here. You know, our first question is to Mrs. Tice, so I'm glad that you're here." And there's mom.
Oh, no.
And, you know, but mom was this cool, like she said, "Oh, yeah." And she just acted like this was her natural. And she was so wonderful. She is so great with pastors' wives.
She
and she is so great with missionary wives. And because she's so comfortable with what she's been doing for the last 43 years, and she's had to live with a maniac.
Mom is the opposite of pretentious. And she comes in. I love about her interaction with pastors' wives and with the women of the church is that she just comes in and says, "You are the greatest pastor's wife ever." And the great thing about mom is there's not an insincere bone in her body. There's nothing to sell. She will tell you what is right, and what is right is that anybody who treats you badly is the enemy and they're demon-possessed.
That's
she becomes so. What's so funny is she views these from her perspective, young pastors and pastors' wives out there, she'll tell me about friends that I know, and she's gotten to know them better than I know them now, and she'll be like, "I've got to tell you about Pastor so-and-so and his amazing wife, and they're the most incredible people ever, and they went through this difficulty and that difficulty. You got to pray for your friends." And so
you just got to pray for my wife that she doesn't like slap some church member that's insulting.
It's true. It's
insulting.
True. She becomes so defensive for ministry leaders, and it's just so cool to have an advocate like that. And in a lot of ways, your ministry and Mother's ministry has become very much Christ-like in that you become an advocate, a place where people can go and really talk about, hey, these are the difficulties, these are the struggles, and a place to vent quite a bit and then get really good counsel, both from a male and female perspective of leadership and ministry.
And our desire is to get to that point where we're saying to pastors, hey, you can do this, and you can bring your children in. We do that on Saturday, so there's a wide variety of ways you can do that. Then on Sunday, if there's two services, we're there for the Sunday morning, Sunday night, take Sunday school, whatever they want us to do. Yeah. And a lot of times we have question and answers in the Sunday evening services. People just want to ask questions.
Cool.
And it's very good. And we've, again, primarily been doing it about the family, but we have things on prayer. We have things also on just outreach and getting excited about
the things. Yeah, you have an evangelistic / outreach 3-day event, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, that you can do. If the whole goal is to get the church excited about evangelism or practical personal evangelism or church growth opportunities, or you've got an entire one on prayer that you do, and all of these are available. And really, it's yours to, if you're listening to this as a pastor or a ministry leader and you're thinking, man, I'd love to do that, could it work that we do this on Friday night and then maybe this on Saturday afternoon and this on Sunday morning? Yeah, really what your heart has been is those 48 hours are kind of yours. Just tell us what you're wanting to do before you get there, and let's start outlining that.
Yeah, we are there for the pastor. Then we like to go out with the pastor and the pastor's wife and just interact and let I think that is very, very enjoyable for me and for my wife. We are able to just sit and talk about ministry and ministry concepts. I just think this. I think every preacher in America needs a friend. Mm. We talk about mentors and coaches and that type of thing. Well, my wife, Anna and I, your mom and I are friends.
Yeah,
and
you are.
And we reach out and we can just say, hey, it's okay. Things are going to go okay. We've been doing this for 43 years in the same church, and it does work, and you can get through the people who scream at you and get upset with you and do mean things to you, and you can get over that.
Yeah, I'm just looking across the table at Drew as we're doing this, and the smile that he has on his face is really what you and Anna bring, not only to the pastor and the pastor's wife and the family, the church family, but the church itself. There is a calming presence that you and Anna, mother?
Yes.
Dr. Mrs. that you bring to a table and to a church that is so refreshing. And it refreshes the heart of the pastor, it refreshes the pastor's family, and it really refreshes the church as well. And I hear it constantly.
Yeah, it sounds like you're not just there to minister to the church, but you're really there to help encourage the pastor and his wife and his family.
That's what we want to do. That's really, really what we want to do. Yeah. So.
You heard it here first, too. If you need a church member slapped, just book Dr. Tice and his wife.
They'll get Anna slapped for sure. So if somebody wanted to, I know we have other things to discuss, but if somebody did want to contact you and book you for a meeting, I know you have a tour coming up this summer. I know you've got a tour coming up later in the fall. And basically what you do is 6 to 9 week tours, right, that are scheduled out for you. And then you're back. And you're in this quasi, like you said, transitional moment in your ministry where you're ministering at Liberty Baptist Church until Matt takes the lead pastorate there. And you're transitioning into this fourth quarter ministry where you're really mentoring and befriending in your terms, these pastors and these churches. How does somebody go about contacting you and booking you?
Well, Charity Berkey, and I...
Oh, I know her.
Yeah, she's related
to you.
She's
the girl that lived in the room next to me?
That's right. That's
growing up?
Charity is taking all the bookings. Yeah. And frankly, this summer, everything is booked.
Yeah.
I think October. I really think there's four spots, and that would be Southwest. We are...
Regional.
We do this regionally because it just helps us. We planned on having this neat Southeast tour in January and February and March, and because it was going to be warm, that was the nice area. And we went through, they had the biggest freeze they've ever had in the last 100 years, and it was crazy.
Back I mean,
it
really was crazy. When the ice storm happened in Texas, they were down there.
Yeah, we were driving through. All the hotels were dark. There was no sewer, which was the worst part. There was no water, and there was no lights, but we were in our motorhome. So when we go down south, we are in a motorhome. We slept in the back of a Cracker Barrel one night, and we woke up the next morning. And it was like we were in the middle of a pond. The water and everything all around us. It was just crazy storms. But anyway, in January, February, and March, beginning of March, we are in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. In July and August, we are in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And in October, we're in the Southwest. And so if you're in the Southwest, even up into Oregon, California, Arizona, Utah, that area, New Mexico, in the Southwest, we try to keep it within 5 or 6 hours of where we are. That way we can travel back and forth.
That
in Pennsylvania,
sense.
We have a little cabin in western Pennsylvania, so we can travel to Maryland. We can travel to we're going to Ohio a couple of times. We're going down to West Virginia. We are going up to New York. All of that. It's all within 5 hours.
So you might be sitting there and you're in Kentucky, or you might be sitting there and you're in Colorado, and you're like, okay, but when are they going to be in my area? You can contact Charity Berkey at charity.berkey, B-E-R-K-E-Y, at experienceliberty.com. That's charity.berkey at experienceliberty.com. And this is how you go to book. You can also go to the website, obviously, and click on the book tab there. That's davidtice.com, and you can book him through that as well. And if you're interested in what this looks like, go ahead and contact Charity and tell them what you're looking for, and we'll book you out. And if they don't have a tour in your area soon, they are booking several years out, so go ahead and start booking now, that process.
Very, very important that you start booking now. The last time we announced this, everything that we announced was booked within 24 hours.
So every time I talk with you, every single time I get a call or I call you and you're out traveling, you're always so excited about what's going on nationally. You're very, very optimistic. And this was even in 2020. You're traveling around and you still seem to be optimistic. A lot of people are not optimistic right now. In fact, our audience would know, I've had to fight my own battles of pessimism as it relates to the future of what's going on in life and ministry here in the U.S. But man, your optimistic spirit has been so refreshing. What excites you most as you look about God's kingdom right now, what God is doing currently in the United States, what excites you most?
Okay. In 2020, January 2020, I decided to fast. I was going to fast for the 30 days. Now, when I fast, I cheat fast. My wife says this is not true, but it is true. I say I juice fast or liquid fast. So if you can suck it through a straw,
it's amazing how a steak will blend.
That's right.
A lot of milkshakes.
That's what everybody says. Yeah. So it's a liquid fast, and I was doing it partly to lose weight, honestly, and to but at the same time, there was a call by a group called 2020 Fast, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
And they started asking people to fast. And I thought, that's fascinating. These are preachers that were between 20 and 40 years old that are saying, let's fast. Not only that, I saw nationally people beginning to just call for prayer. Kurt Cameron saying, we're gonna pray. We're gonna have times of prayer and they're calling for prayer. There were people from every stripe of Christianity, you know, calling for prayer. I thought, man, these are not Baptists and they're praying. There was
their prayers count for half.
Yeah, that's right.
Two of their prayers count for one. I'm just kidding. Some of you are listening in your Church of Christ and you're like, oh, how dare you? Relax.
It's okay. Sorry. This past Saturday, I was at a Pentecostal prayer service because I'm invited weekly to go to these prayer services.
Drew, edit that out later. And I'm just kidding.
Those count two for one, right?
I'm telling you what.
You're not kidding. Exactly. That's two for one prayer.
They're praying and it's great. I saw at the beginning of 2020 this great call for prayer.
Yeah.
And people said, then of course the whole announcement of we're in a pandemic, everything's crazy. Mm. We need to understand this, that God doesn't answer prayer the way we think that he should answer prayer. I think this Easter, I was the great thing that impacted me about Easter and what I preached about on Easter, or not on Easter, but the week before Easter, when Jesus went into the temple, when he enters into Jerusalem, this is so good. He goes into Jerusalem, and the people start crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Well, Hosanna is a prayer. It means save us now, save us now. Well, that's what people were doing in 2020, saying, God, do something miraculous, save us now. And let me just say this, a lot of conservative friends of mine thought that meant, or what they meant by that was, let Trump be reelected in November, and they certainly weren't thinking pandemic in March, and they certainly didn't think Easter was going to be canceled when all these people, millions of people, are praying, saying, God, save us now. Jesus said, they yelled out, save us now. Jesus answered that prayer, but they thought that meant deliverance from Rome. They thought zealots were going to get out and deliver us from Rome. They had no idea how Jesus was going to answer that. And his answer was, yes, I'll save you now. By going to a cross, by being spit upon, by being beaten, by being abused, I'm going to save you now. That's not what they expected. But man, did God work in answer to prayer. I'm telling you, there's more people a day praying. And not only that, here's another thing that's exciting. You drive around the countryside, there are people who wear suits and ties in churches that are ultra conservative, and they're preaching and they're seeing people saved and baptized and joining the church. You go to other places where there's people who would never wear a tie. They've got beards and goatees. And then and they're excited and they're winning people to Christ. You go to large churches, you go to small churches, and they're focusing on. They sing different songs. The songs that are being sung in churches today are magnifying Jesus Christ. They're telling how wonderful He is and how amazing He is. I'll go in and listen to a song I've never heard before in my life because we're still singing "Amazing Grace," and I hear this song and I think, man, these people love the Lord. And here's the deal. This is in places where God never asked me for permission to work. I didn't even know they were going on. God is working in places all around the world that you know nothing about, that I know nothing about, in churches that I've never been to. I drove through Waco, Texas. Wait, if you ever get a chance to go to Waco, Texas, I mean, to see Chip and Joanne or whatever, and that's why we were there, and they weren't there, by the way, but we drove through. Waco, Texas is a dump. I mean, and the reason they have a fixer.
I thought it was a shiplap paradise.
That's where they made it.
They have shiplap there because it's all fallen off of the sides of the old houses.
That makes sense.
They have a fixer-upper show because all of Waco needs to be fixed up. So anyway, if you're from Waco, Texas, please forgive me. Anyway, I'm just saying there's churches. I pulled into a parking lot to turn around, and when I did, I'm in a church, and it's a Bible Baptist church that's there preaching the gospel. Amazing. I'm telling you, there are churches that you and I will never know the preachers until we get to heaven, but God is working in churches. We do not have the Fox News Network. We have the Idea Network, but we don't have the Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS. So you don't hear about any of this stuff that God is doing. We are part of the greatest move on the planet. Absolutely. God is working worldwide. He's working in people that are conservative, people that are less conservative in their dress, people who sing and swing for Jesus, and there are those who just sit and stand for Jesus and sing. But people are being. I mean, it's just exciting when you start talking to people and they're saying, honestly, how's things going? Oh man, well, we were down in attendance, but we saw this person saved. We thought this person saved. Well, we were down in attendance. I mean, I heard that all the time because it's COVID year, but you know what? People are watching us online. We have more people watching us online than we ever had coming to church. Mm. When you think about the fact that everybody's online now. People that were hesitant to ever get online are now online. People that were hesitant of ever getting on Facebook are on Facebook. And I mean, when you give the liberals an opportunity to do something, when I say liberal, I'm talking about doctrinally liberal, and I'm talking about politically liberal. You give them an opportunity, they jump on it and they get all over it. Bible believers are hesitant to get involved in technological stuff, and you're probably getting loose if that happens. That's not the way it is now. Everybody saying, we got to get out there and we got to do something. And I think I'm just excited about it. I got to meet preachers that I'd met before. I think of Mark and Sarah Davis, who are in Griffin, Texas. I got to meet them. I got to see the work that they were doing. I think of John and Ashley Jupp, and what a wonderful, wonderful couple they are. There are people, again, that I knew about or I didn't know about, and I find out about them, and then I get introduced to this preacher, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. I walked across the campus of Pensacola Christian College. I'm walking across the campus, and a guy stops, and he says, a guy's in a car. I'm waiting for him to drive, and he stopped, and he said, oh, I just wanted to say hi, Dr. Tice. I said, well, hi. He said, you probably don't remember me. And then he introduced himself to me. He said, I worked in your summer missionary program back in 2012. Wow. And he said, well, I was there. He said, God just put a fire in my heart. He said, now I run Camp of the Pines here at Pensacola Christian College. Wow. It's when you see young men, I'm 65 years old, so if you're 40 or younger, you're a young man. I mean, it's sad to say for me, if you're 50, you're a young man. Wow. But you see these guys that are doing it, and you think, God, all my life, all I wanted to do was to see your work being promoted and your work going forward. And it doesn't matter what hell throws at the work of God. Everything's just going forward, whether we can see it or not. Yeah. And that's what's exciting.
I love the fact that you're saying the answer to the prayer, God save us, the answer to all of our prayers and fasting of early 2020 may have been the pandemic, may have been an opportunity to step back and reevaluate. And what an incredible, beautiful perspective. I love it. I absolutely love it. And you talk about age, man. You've been talking about older versus younger. And the reality is, I think a guy that's my age, 40 years old, gets around you and thinks to themselves, I think I'm the old man. I think I'm the one who's a little weary in years now. You bring such a life and an energy. And that's what we want you to experience. If you're listening to this, maybe you just need a little encouragement yourself. Maybe your church is in a place where they need some encouragement. And what I could highly recommend is this. This is what Drew and I would highly recommend. Bring out David and Anna Tice to be, we call them the official Idea Network ambassadors, but just to be in your presence, to be in your church's place, to bring some life, energy, love, encouragement, excitement about what's coming. And if you want to keep that theme evangelistic focused, if you want to keep that theme prayer focused, if you want to keep that theme family focused, whatever theme it is, I promise you, it's going to be a huge blessing and help to you.
Yeah, what I'm most, I think, refreshed by your conversation about is the fact that I'm not hearing hold the fort, you know. I'm not hearing, you know, buckle down and hold down what you have. I'm hearing, you know, press forward, right? And I think about what you're talking about is trying to encourage people who maybe are in the middle of the Midwest somewhere and they think they're the last remaining prophet like Elijah, right? And they're out there, boom. They're the last one doing good. And you're saying, no, like God is advancing, God's still working. Maybe it doesn't look exactly like you, right? Or it doesn't talk exactly like you, but God's still working in this world to save people and bring people to himself. And that's refreshing to hear somebody from your stage of life say that.
If somebody got saved last week in your church, that's amazing. Awesome. There are, if you had the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with somebody, that's amazing. So the truth of the matter is we are not responsible for results. We are just supposed to be obedient wherever God has placed us. And somebody asked me one time, how in the world do you get, you're doing so many things. How do you even sleep at night? Doesn't it all go through your mind? What I do at night is I say to the Lord, in fact, I sometimes fall asleep preparing next Sunday morning's message. I figure if it can put me to sleep, it'll put anybody to sleep. What I do at night is I say, Lord, I did everything that I could for your kingdom today. I tried to be obedient to you. I spent time with you. I spent time telling people about Christ. If I've done what God wants me to do, I can go to bed. If I didn't get to lead somebody to Christ this week, or I did what God put me to do on this earth to do today. And you need to be content with that. Whatever it is, then God's placed you where you are. Do it to the very best of your ability. Let your advancement, leave it in his hands, and leave the results of whatever you've done in his hands. Just become, I hate to quote Joel Osteen, but become the best you can possibly become, because that's who God created you to be. And wherever it is that you are, live for Jesus. Sumner Wimp said to me one time, I said, man, I really want to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, Dave, have you ever looked on the map? Where Jesus said in Jerusalem, he said, go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Look at it. You are there. You don't have to go anywhere. Just serve Jesus where you are and do what you do. Be the husband, be the father, be the wife, be the mother, be the friend, be the servant, be the neighbor that God wants you to be. We have God living inside of us. Yeah. In the midst of all this darkness, we get to let his light shine out of our lives wherever we are, and that's great.
I absolutely love it. You mentioned Sumner Wimp. He was a mentor, but he was really a friend to you. When it comes to this theme of friendship, have you ever read any good books lately on the subject of friendship?
I have.
Careful what you say.
Here's the deal. I told you, I called you yesterday.
Shameless plug.
Here's the deal.
That's what this is called.
Well, I would like to say that I believe, I've mentioned so many times, and things that you told, there are such thing as family secrets.
Yes.
Family secrets.
I spilled the beans in the book.
That's right. I'm just saying.
I told some stories that I wasn't allowed to tell.
I'm just telling you. And you told me to read it, and I read it. And
can
so,
I tell you?
Do I get a commission? Do I get some kind of commission?
You're gonna get 10% of every dollar I lost on this book. I need you to take me to dinner. Okay. Here's the thing. You're the only person in the family who has called me out on spilling family secrets in this book. You know what that tells me?
Nobody else has read it.
Nobody else has read this book in my family. I've given them all copies. I don't know what's going on.
No, Faith told me she has not gotten her copy, and she would like me to tell you that she has not gotten her copy.
Is Faith still in the family?
Yes, she
is. Okay, all right. Oh,
she's the one good child. You remember that?
She is my favorite sibling. You ask any of five of us, who's your favorite sibling? And they'll all say Faith. If you ask Faith, Faith will say, me. I'm the best.
I remember one time I said to her, did you do that? And she said, no, Dad, I'm the good child. Don't you remember? I'm the good child.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's known it.
She is the good child. Well, look, thanks for coming on for the episode. We love having you on the podcast, and we're really excited about the fact that you're in this fourth quarter or transitioning into this fourth quarter of your ministry. It's really a blessing to the kingdom of God.
I consider it the second half.
Second half.
That's
ooh,
right.
I love
that's
it.
Right. The second half, because we're in.
Okay, let's do the math on this. Well, how many years were you at Liberty?
Hey,
I'm just
43.
I'm good with that. 43. So 43 years, which means that puts you at retirement at 107.
Oh, I 107 would be good. I'm enjoying what I'm
and
doing.
And then after 107, you got plans?
Well, I might take a trip to Israel or something.
We know a guy who hosts a trip, so you
that's
might
right. You can go with us. You okay. can go with us.
All right. Hey, we're going to talk next one of these times about the footprints of the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, May of 2022, we're going to Israel, and yes. Dave and Anna Tice are thinking about going with us.
Yes, yes, I think
Drew and Christina are going with us.
We are. We're excited.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
I just don't know whether I can. I'm not sure because
get that vaccine.
I don't know about that vaccine. I've already had coronavirus. I don't know.
It's all anyway. Right. Drew is a fantastic artist, and we'll fake you a copy. How about that? We'll just
there
fake
it
you
is.
The copy.
There it is.
All right. Those who are listening to this, who are legally bound to report me, I'm just kidding. Seriously, Dad, thanks for joining this episode.
It was great. It's always great to be here.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.